and we'll get started, and there may be a few that join us, and I can see that Senator Fillmore has just joined us, maybe a few more along the way. I'd like to start by...
Representative Snow, I just wanted to say this is Lieutenant Governor Cox. I am on, and thank you so much for chairing this meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Lieutenant Governor, and thank you for joining. As I understand it, you may be on the road and joining us by phone. We're just lucky and fortunate to have you, and we'll conduct the meeting, but feel free to join in along the way.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Governor is extremely busy continuing to deal and help the state manage the COVID crisis. And so he asked if I'd handle this meeting today and have him join by phone and participate as he can. So with that, as I was saying, we do have an ambitious agenda. So we'll get started in the business portion, but before I do that, just again want to issue each of you a warm welcome, board members and other staff members who have joined us, our director and also our consultants, and members of the public that may be listening in or have joined us. You're all welcome. This is an important meeting. This meeting marks our last meeting, most likely. And I'll say later why I say most likely, but probably the last meeting in the fiscal year. As you know, legislature has been working hard and the appropriation subcommittees on budgeting. And this marks the end of the fiscal year. And one of the items we'll have on our agenda today is approving the budget going into next, as we begin our next fiscal year. But it's worth... At this point, looking back a little bit about how much has been accomplished in the last year, and I don't mean to take some time and tick all of those things off, but when you think about where we were a year ago in terms of finding a director, locating our consultants, getting all of those on board, we are fortunate to have the foundation in place that we have, and look forward now to this next year with some great things that are going to happen, and we'll talk a little bit more about that during the course of the meeting. Today we do have important decisions on our agenda, so we're glad that you're here participating. So with that, now moving into the business portion of our agenda. The chair would entertain a motion with respect to the minutes of our May 12th, 2020 meeting. I think you have each been delivered a copy of those. Could I have a motion, please? Thank you, Jim. Motion is made by Jim. A second, please.
Second.
Was that April?
Yes.
April 2nd, thank you. Any discussion on the motion? Not hearing any, not seeing any hands. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries, the minutes are approved. Let's move down to the next item. According to our format, this is a time we allow comments from the public. Is there a member of the public that has joined us that would like to make a comment to the board? Not hearing anyone coming forward and not seeing any indication, we'll move to the next item on the agenda. Next item relates to our reimbursement to DFCM for engineering services. We have a request from DCFM to reimburse them the sum of $99,000 for engineering and site survey work. So if it's okay, Alan, I'd like to turn time to you to discuss this item, how it came about, and what we need to do today, please.
Thank you, Representative Snow. As you know, one of the first things that we needed to do was kind of a site survey of the prison site and identify whether we've got environmental, archaeological, topographical, or other challenges on the site. At the time, we didn't have an appropriation, and so we couldn't hire an engineering firm to do that. And Jim, as director of the Division of Facilities and Construction Management, bless his heart, stepped forward and said that they would go ahead and engage the engineer to start that work. And we had an understanding that we as an organization would reimburse them for that. The engineering firm, Horrocks Engineering, is out on the site now. They've completed most of their site work and are working on their report, which they hope to wrap up mostly by the end of this month. Although there's a historical portion that might carry over a couple of weeks into July. But again, Jim and his team facilitated our ability to get started on this early. And so pursuant to our agreement, we want to repay him. We don't have all of the invoices in yet, but the contract itself was for $99,000. So the request today would be that the board authorizes to reimburse DFCM for that approximately $99,000 for that engineering work. You're on mute, Representative Snow.
Thank you. We'll take board discussion. But before we do that, Jim, do you have a comment on this item?
No, getting paid back sooner than I thought. So this is great. I guess my comment is, should I vote on this or not?
I have a question, Larry.
Well, I don't think there's a problem with you voting on it. You're not acting in a private capacity. This is an agency to a board, and so I don't think there's an issue. You're simply acting in, or as a member of the board, and you happen to also have a position with DCFM. So discussion on this, or any questions of Alan on this issue?
This is Steve. I have a question, Lowry, if I could ask it.
Sure.
Once I'm just thinking about this, because the only work they're doing is in the vacant ground. Once the prison site, the buildings are cleared in a couple years, will there be a necessity to go back in, hire them or someone else to go back in and survey that area that's been cleared? Does that make sense?
Does make sense. Jim, do you want to comment on that?
Steve, this is April. I'd like to make one comment. Part of this site survey was to check on easements, like for power lines, or if there was previous leases that the state did. There's like a nursery down there that has some trees. So part of this wasn't necessarily the topography of the site. It was more, let's see what we have first to see if we have any encumbrances. And we would have had those encumbrances regardless of whether the buildings are demolished or not. So that's why we did it so early.
Okay. Any further comments, Jim?
So is Representative Handy to address your question. The only thing that would be impacted is if there was any environmental or hazardous materials that were left behind from the cleanup there, which would be something we would probably address and maybe update the study in that aspect. And then April's correct, the easements and so forth are part of the study that they're doing.
Thank that answered my question. Thank you.
Thanks, Representative Handy. Further discussion or questions?
Mr. Chair, Mayor Walker here. I move we approve item number 4.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. The motion is that we approve reimbursement of DFCM approximately $99,000 for engineering services.
This is Val.
I may have missed that. Do I have a second?
Yeah, this is Val.
Val, thank you for the second. Discussion on the motion. We'll place the matter for all in favor of the motion made by Mayor Walker. Say aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Let's go on to the next.
Representative Snow, could we get everyone to mute your phones if you're not talking? We're getting some feedback. Thank you.
It's a good suggestion. Thanks. That's better. Next item on the agenda is to approve the 2021 budget. You recall me saying at the beginning of this meeting, this is probably our last meeting. It is our last meeting, assuming that we can approve the budget that's been prepared. We have a deadline that has to be accomplished by June 22nd. So if we don't approve it today, we would have to call another meeting before that date in order to abide the law, so to speak. The budgets are more than just a spreadsheet showing income or revenue and expenditures. It really lays out a plan of priorities and to some extent tells us what we have allocated for resources going into the next year. I'd like to, if it's okay, Alan, turn some time to you. We appreciate Alan, our director's work on this. It's been terrific. And he has also been assisted by Cameron Dalton, as I understand it, who's the finance director of GOED. And with that, Alan, I'd like to turn some time to you to discuss the budget, how we came up with it, and then let's talk or open it up for discussion.
I have a quick question first, Lowry. I'm not able to open the Google Drive. Is there anyone that could screenshot budget and send it to my email or send me a PDF, a different format? It just won't let me in Google Drive.
I'll do that now, April.
We'll make sure you have that, April.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is kind of a big step as we put together the budget for the coming year. I do want to thank Cameron Dalton, who's joined us today. Cameron is with GOED, and he has been serving as the treasurer to our organization and helped us work through some of these numbers. But any mistakes or problems are mine alone. Let me kind of walk through that document, and if you've got questions, Cameron and I will try to answer those. We were required to provide a week's notice before this meeting for the budget. So there has, since that time, been some additional information that's come in, and I'll share that with you. But looking at first the operating revenue side, we've got some appropriations that came in, and we understand that those are subject to change during the special session coming up in the next couple of weeks. So while we're optimistic, there may be some changes to those numbers. During this last general session, the legislature appropriated $1 million ongoing to our organization and $3,385,000 one-time money. In addition, we received kind of a pass-through appropriation of $750,000. That's designated to go to doing some analysis on transit. So there's currently a process underway to to identify a locally preferred alternative for transit from Salt Lake County down into Utah County. When that's done, roughly in August, we need to start probably the NEPA analysis, the federal environmental review. And so the legislature appropriated the $750,000 to start that process. They appropriated it to us, but we'll be transferring that to UTA. So that's where that shows up on the budget. We also have a carry forward. In fiscal year 2020, during this last legislative session, the legislature appropriated $900,000 in supplemental funding to us. So we didn't have the full year of spending, but we spent roughly half of it. I have on this chart a carry forward of $488,000. If we build in there the $99,000 that we're going to pay to DFCM and some adjustments that we've identified in the last week, we've got a projection now that that number, the carry forward, will be closer to about $377,000. So our total operating revenue at the close of this fiscal year would be $5,512,000. Then if we go down to the operating expenses, this outlines what we would expect to spend in the coming year. And let me just kind of walk through that and some of the assumptions behind it. Personnel, that would cover all fully loaded costs for me and for a new employee that we would bring on. We'd be looking at potentially bringing on an operations manager that could help. That's a little up in the air. We are very fortunate to have good partners in other state agencies that are required by the statute, but beyond that are just good friends and partners. And so they've been providing support services, and we'll be able to use that for a bit longer. But we are building in the flexibility to hire an additional staff person this year. The next item is travel. That includes our in-state travel, my driving around in personal vehicle, your board expenses. But more importantly, that provides us the flexibility to be able to do some travel to other model sites around the country. We think this is a year where we're going to be making some decisions and gathering information on the planning and the master plan for the site. And we may well want to go and visit some sites and learn the lessons that they've learned and incorporate them here. So there's some money for that. Don't have anything for lease. We're building an office right now in the new state office building in Taylorsville. Jim Russell's been great with his team to help us there. And so we'll probably in about August or September have an office in that building. And that'll be at no extra charge to us. So thanks, Jim. Legal services, this is the work with Ballard Spahr. Difficult to project what legal services will cost because sometimes that's responsive to circumstances. We think this would be enough to take care of an interlocal agreement with some of the surrounding communities, some of the early real estate documentation, development agreements, and those kinds of things. Doing the ongoing legal service for us, giving us legal advice, and then a little contingency built in. Got insurance, that's our liability and workers' comp insurance. Again, we're not gonna have to pay for more furniture and equipment. I think we're set there. A little bit for supplies, our technical expenses, $4,000, that includes if we have to get a computer, maybe a printer for a new employee, and also the fees that are charged by the Department of Technology Services. I've got $10,000 in there for audit services. Now that our budget is over $1 million, we're required to have an independent audit. So we will have to engage an audit firm to come in and do a review of our books. And that $10,000 may be a little high. I hope it is, but that's a placeholder for that. Then get into the consulting services, which are the big cost for the organization. And collectively, looking at a budget of roughly $1,195,000. That includes $300,000 for RCLCO. Their scope for this coming year includes helping us analyze the highest and best use for the site, helping assess the best role for the Point of the Mountain State Land Authority and for the state, how we can optimize return, minimize risk, outlining kind of a preferred development program, including looking at transportation, ongoing real estate advice, etc. They're going to be busy this year really laying the groundwork for our master plan and helping us answer some of the foundational questions that we've been asking for some time. We've got $220,000 in there for X Factor Communications. They've already been very, very busy and continue to be as we put in place a branding strategy, a website, adopt and implement a communication strategy, managing stakeholder committees, public involvement, etc. Put $450,000 in for planning work. At our last meeting, we approved hiring kind of a project manager for planning that we could put on retainer. So roughly $100,000 of that is for that position. And then assuming that we get a planning firm on board toward the end of this calendar year that have about half of a year to be working on a general plan, working on some more specific site design. It's going to take a little while for us to actually get that planning firm in place because we want to do it right. We probably want to do a worldwide search, have them submit ideas and drawings in advance so that we can start a dialogue. But built in about $350,000 for that work. And then engineering work, which would include looking at transportation issues on the site, some civil engineering. We likely will have to do at some point some more geotechnical work on the site, as well as support for the planning process. So again, those consulting services all add up to just under $1.2 million. And then finally, as I mentioned before, we have this pass-through of $750,000 that'll go to UTA to begin the federal environmental study and evaluation. So that works out to a total operating budget of $2,594,500. Without the pass-through to UTA, that's about a little under $1.85 million for the coming year. So that's what we've outlined and the assumptions behind it. And Cameron, if you've got anything more you'd like to share, I'd welcome that opportunity, and then we'll field questions.
Alan, I think you've covered it well. This is a well thought out budget. It's not overreaching nor too conservative. I think it's a sweet spot. Goldilocks right in the middle. So I feel it'll lend well to accomplishing the goals that you have for the coming year. I think it covers the expectations for services that are needed. Obviously, there will be some nuances and some slight adjustments as the year progresses, but I think there's also a reserve built in that allows that to happen within existing funding. So I have no fundamental concerns. I think it's a great outline, and I would recommend that the board approve it if they are so inclined.
This is April. I have a question. I'm presuming we are doing generally accepted accounting principles, fund accounting or accrual. So wouldn't the $99,000 that we just approved on engineering, and we've already had the services go in this year, we don't, fiscal year 2020, we don't want it to roll to next year, right?
No, that's what I'm saying. So if we pay that out this year, the carry forward would go down from $488,000, and then again with a few other pieces in there, to about $377,000.
Okay.
So I suggest that if we make a motion on this, that the motion would include adjusting that carry forward based on our more accurate numbers now.
Down. Okay, that's great. I just wanted to make sure we weren't including it in next year's budget. Okay, thanks.
Now, Jim's team will work with myself to do that transfer this year prior to the close of year before the books are finished. So it's our expectation that that would happen currently.
Thanks, Cameron. Thank you, Alan. Thank you both for preparing this. Further questions of Cameron or Alan from the board?
Steve, I have a question.
Okay.
The contract amounts for RCLCO and for X Factor, are those the coming fiscal year contracts or are those scope of work contracts?
The contracts that we signed were five-year contracts, so it was for 5 years to accomplish the scope of work that was outlined in those contracts. And so this next year's budget is more than one-fifth of that, because we expect there to be more work in this next year. But it takes into account the fact that we've got a limit on that five-year budget.
Okay, that helps. The other thing is that, so the difference between total operating expenses and your total revenues, there's still $3 million, right, Cameron, left? I mean, obviously that's going to be carried over, and the legislature will look at that funding going forward.
So that funding would be held in reserve for any unexpected items that came up this year, and then, assuming nothing is needed and it's available, it would carry forward into the next year, just as we're carrying a portion into this year. The legislature could certainly consider that as they look at new appropriations for the future and make adjustments accordingly. But yes, that money would be held for Point of the Mountain. It would not automatically roll back into the Legislative General Fund. It would still be held for Point of the Mountain uses in the future.
And Representative, maybe I'd just add that our annual operating costs are going to be more than the ongoing $1 million that was appropriated. And so when that was done, the understanding was that we would have some one-time money that we could use in future years to make up that difference. So with the appropriations that we received, and again, I just emphasize that those could be changed in a couple of weeks, but those appropriations would last us roughly 2 to 3, so about 2.5 years of operations.
Okay, that's good insight. The only other thing I would say is on your travel amount. I mean, I know that's a swag, all of the travel budgets are likely to get cut in all of the state agencies, right, Representative Snow? I mean, we're seeing travel budgets in all of the appropriations committees get tightened up considerably. But I know that's a swag, Alan. I mean, I know that's just throwing that out there. So
I agree with you, Representative, that's one of the areas they're looking at, and will probably be cut. But I think, as you mentioned, this is swag or an estimate. But I would reiterate what Alan said about as we move into this next phase of our work, being able to have some resources to travel to other places that have accomplished similar kinds of undertakings is going to be important. Maybe it doesn't include all of the board. Maybe it's select the numbers that can attend. But I think finding out what has gone well and what hasn't gone well in other areas is going to be an important part of our planning process.
I couldn't agree more with that. We've got to go out and see, somebody does, go out and see best practices, get on the ground, some of these other areas. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion or questions from board members? Again, thank you, Cameron and Alan, for your work. The chair would entertain a motion to approve the budget.
This is Dave, so moved.
Thank you, Commissioner. The motion is that we approve the proposed budget for year 2021. Do I have a second?
And could I just jump in and say, would that be subject to making the change that I mentioned in the revenues?
Yes.
So we move the most accurate.
That would be subject to that. And Commissioner, that would be your understanding, I take it?
Yes.
Do I have a second then?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Jim. It's been seconded by Jim. We'll place them, well, before I place it for vote, any discussion on the motion? We'll now place the motion for vote. All in favor of the motion to approve the FY 2021 budget subject to those conditions mentioned by Alan, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously and the budget's approved. So, Alan, great work. It looks like we meet the deadline. Next matter on the agenda is to address our procurement process. As you know, we previously approved procurement process. I don't know how long ago it was, but shortly after we got organized, I think with Alan, you coming on board, it has served us well. And we've utilized that process primarily through with help from the state procurement office. Our code, code provision that enacted creation of this board doesn't require that we are subject to the state broad procurement process, but we attempted to utilize certain parts of that and some of those agency resources to help us, and it was helpful. But it turns out that in many ways that has become more burdensome and not as nimble. It doesn't afford us as nimble of a process as we need. So our legal counsel, the firm Ballard Spahr and J.C. Skinner specifically, has helped us redraft a proposed policy. You've each been given a copy of that. So with that, I'd like to welcome J.C. to the meeting. I think you're with us, and turn the time to you, J.C., to talk about the redraft that you've undertaken and explain that and answer board questions.
Okay, great. Thank you. It's really nice to be with you all today. Everyone can hear me? Just nod your heads.
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you.
Wonderful. You do have a copy, and as Representative Snow mentioned, this is just in most part a restructuring of the policy that you put in place previously. As I've listened to you all discuss this, and as we've discussed this over the last couple of months, I think it's very clear. The goal of this commission is to be as transparent as possible, to have as much process as possible, but also to be as nimble as possible, recognizing that in many instances, you want to be able to move quickly, but still maintain process. And as Representative Snow mentioned, you are an entity that is not by statute subject to the Utah State Procurement Code. You have followed it in all of your procurements that I'm aware of thus far, at least those that I've been aware of. And you've done that specifically in the RFPs that you've issued. You've tied yourself to the specific provisions of the Utah State Procurement Code, which you are absolutely entitled to do. And I think in many instances, we'll continue to do that. However, for those instances where you may want to have a little bit more flexibility or may want to move a little bit more quickly, what code does require is for you to have a policy that is substantially similar to the Utah Procurement Code. And so you don't have to have all of the details of it, but you need to have something that accomplishes those same purposes. And I know that's the intent of this group. And so I just want to walk you through most of the changes in this, just so you're aware, are not substantive. Most of them are just structural and some specific references that we've added for maybe a little bit more formality, because we're like that. So we'll have that there. So you'll see that in most of the changes. One of the things under subsection 3, procedures and standards, one of the things that Alan wanted to make sure that we were able to do, and Jim, I think you may appreciate this or you may come to regret this, but because you have very specific expertise in procurement related to building and design and everything structurally related that this committee does, we want to make sure that we are utilizing those procurement expertise, whether it comes from the division, Utah Division of Purchasing, which we've worked really closely with in the past and will continue to, or whether that expertise comes from the Division of Facilities and Construction Management, DFCM. And we also know that, you know, you have some lists of approved providers or folks that you've worked with in the past that we want to make sure that we can utilize. So we've changed this to say that you all will engage or consult with either the Division of Purchasing and or, when appropriate, DFCM to utilize the expertise to make sure that we've got the best information for whatever the particular procurement is, that we're gonna just utilize everyone who has really good information. But for those instances where we don't need to utilize DFCM, we will consult with them, but we can go forward just with their consultation and not necessarily engaging them. Although again, we very much appreciate their expertise and in all likelihood will engage them in all instances. Procurement timelines, again, we're not changing that. You will keep all solicitations open for a minimum of 5 days. Again, your procurements are not going to exceed your budget, things along those lines. Subsection 4 looks like it has a lot of changes to it. This is competitive processes for the board approval. These are not a lot of changes. These are mostly structural. So just some rewording of things. Again, the board specifying that board approval will be required for any purchase in excess of $50,000, but not for purchases less than that, although we may want to have board approval for Alan's protection, right, in many of those instances, but specifying that that's not required. We provide a list here of when a competitive process is not required. Again, this is not a substantial change. This is just, we're making this a list rather, previously it was a single paragraph. The only thing that we are substantively adding is planning and design services. And arguably those planning and design services are encompassed within the professional services category before, but we wanted to make sure we were very specific. And that's one area where Jim, again, will be have a lot of expertise because he works with those planning and design specialists all the time. Then again, specifically, we are subject to compliance with the Ethics Act. Everyone on this board would be subject to compliance with the Ethics Act, as is Alan, as would anyone who is consulting with you or working with you. Specifically, we also mentioned communications with potential builders, bidders. We didn't make changes to this, but just recognize you as members of this board or staff to this board can talk with people about the process, but when there is an active RFP, you are not able to talk to those people who have applied. So before something's issued, people have questions, what your plans are, have you thought about this, have you thought about that, that's all fine. But when there is an active solicitation or an active RFP existing, those communications, and this specifies this, all need to go through the Division of Purchasing there. We made a few changes in relation to interviews, just giving you some flexibility if you're reviewing solicitations and you want to conduct interviews just because of the size of the number of people who applied and you have narrowed it down and don't want to interview everyone, we've given you some flexibility to interview just a certain number of bidders as opposed to all. Let's see here. And then finally, we've added subsection 10, which is just errors in procurement process. where, again, this is a default, which would just allow it an appeal process that would go through Allen and then to this board, as opposed to the procurement board, which is a different entity that's run through the Division of Purchasing. Again, if we want to have a more structured, and I shouldn't say structured, but a much more detailed and more levels of appeal because of the nature of the procurement, and there may be, again, in the future instances where we'll want to do that, then again, we can add that process and we can specifically reference the process in code. So again, you can follow that process whenever you want to, but otherwise this will be the default here. That's the majority of those changes. Again, it looks like more changes than are actually in there just because we've restructured it. But are there any questions?
Representative Snow's all right if I ask a few questions.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Well, I'm not looking at the document. I can't find it. But I guess my question is, some of the differences between purchasing and DFCM are the type of procurements that we do. And mm-hmm. the type of procurements that they have more latitude in some ways than us and vice versa. And so we have more latitude than state purchasing on selection of master planners, architects, contractors, so forth, and maybe a little bit different rules. I guess my question is, and that's why I talked to Alan, thinking it's probably more appropriate that moving forward that we be used for some of this. But if I am not looking at your document, so I guess my question is, if there's a conflict, say that we, through our statute and rules, have more latitude than what you've written into that document, what prevails?
So that's a very good question. This document would be the overriding floor for you all, right? So you couldn't do something that was less stringent under your policy than this policy allows. But I think, and I hope, and I can read these to you if it's helpful, Jim. But I think through the competitive process list, I think we've encompassed those things that you are exempt for. So again, professional services, planning and design services, interlocal agreements. If you have recently, purchased something from the same vendor within 90 days, we wouldn't have to go through the process. We could rely on your process for that. Things along those lines.
It sounds like it wouldn't be a problem. I'm just, curious, maybe make sure that there's something in there that defines that, that the this board's rules take precedence or whatever. So there's not a question. Because, it may not be a problem for us, but it could be if there was a protest or a dispute as well.
Absolutely. So again, this will be the policy of the board. So unless you tie yourself to something more stringent or you specifically stated an RFP, something that you're adding to this, this document would be the policy of this board.
All right.
Thank you, Jim. Any other questions for Jason? It looks like really helpful and good work, JC. I have a question or a proposed clerical change. It's really simple, but probably ought to consider making it. Under paragraph 7, third line, we refer to the board being able to, the board chair appointed committee, we probably ought to recognize the co-chair in that appointment process.
So to state board chairs?
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. All right. I will make that little mark there. So it would read on line 3, the board co-chairs will appoint a committee of board members.
Okay. Any other questions before the chair entertains a motion? Not seeing any hands, chair would entertain a motion to approve this procurement policy as drafted and with this minor change.
So moved, Mr. Chair. Mayor Walker.
Thank you, Mayor. Motion is that we approve the procurement policy as drafted. Do I have a second?
Second. This is Mayor Ramsey.
Thank you, Don, for the second. Discussion to the motion that's before us. We'll place it for a vote. All in favor of the motion that we approve this new policy or this revised policy, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. And thank you again, JC and Kirsten and Tyler. You can help Lieutenant Governor and I place our signatures appropriately or when we're there or electronically, however. Okay?
Can do. Thanks.
Thank you very much. So the next item on our agenda is number 7. To review the communications plan. I think all of you board members are aware that our consultant X Factor has been working really hard to develop our communication plan going forward. They've held meetings with each of you. And by the way, Muriel, I received my transcript. I can't believe that I said all those good things, but I spoke to Dr. They have also conducted interviews with stakeholders. They've reviewed data. They've conducted recently a branding workshop some of you were involved with. So Muriel and your team, we really appreciate you moving forward. We'd like to turn the time to you to talk about the plan that we've received and taken a look at and can also put up on the screen for us.
Okay, so, that thank sounds you, great.
Thank you for being here, Muriel, and presenting.
Of course, it's my pleasure, Representative. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. And as you mentioned, we've been really busy this